We talked about doing a Castlevania Game Boy Advance Game Club. We are absolutely going to talk about this on an episode of Connectivity.
I'm trying to make a play at taking the most appearances spot from you guys.
You know, Matt, if you just want to like send me audio files, I'll just start uploading them to the feed.
We should do a game club.
Okay.
No, I have a bone to pick with the game club stuff. I bought the Castlevania GBA collection.
We are absolutely going to talk about this. We are absolutely going to talk about this. We are absolutely going to talk about this on an episode of Connectivity.
And welcome to NWR Connectivity, episode 315, the long-awaited beginning of the Castlevania Game Boy Advance Game Club. I'm your host, Matt Zwodniak, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Joe DeVader.
Hi, I'm here.
So, the Castlevania Game Club, of course, we announced it a while ago, and we just didn't get around to it until just now because various circumstances and all, but I think people, you know, they're excited about Castlevania, so this should be pretty fun.
Yeah, I was excited for it too, and then I played the first one. because the first one is Castlevania Circle of the Moon.
Mm-hmm. So yes, today's episode is on, of course, the first Game Boy Advance Castlevania Circle of the Moon, and is the first game in the GBA collection. I did not personally play the GBA collection, but I don't know if it, because I just played the original Game Boy Advance version. I don't know if, is there any significant difference between them?
You get a rewind function on the Game Boy Advance collection.
So it's like the standard, like, yeah, save states, rewinds, but there's like no changes to the game though.
Pretty much as far as I can tell, which maybe there should have been. I think the music is also not compressed.
Yeah, there's an option for it.
There is an option for it. Oh, I didn't mess around with any of the emulation options.
I don't know what the default is, so I don't know if you had the uncompressed music or the Game Boy Advance music.
It didn't sound super compressed, at least compared to when I go to listen to the soundtrack on Spotify. It sounds a bit more clear than that.
Okay, so you probably had the uncompressed soundtrack then.
Probably. Hey, this game's bad.
A little bit.
This game's really, really bad.
So, I don't know if we want, before we get into it, like, what are our experiences with Castlevania? Because I know for me, I have pretty much only played the original Castlevania on NES, Rondo of Blood, and I played Symphony of the Night. And of those three, I definitely liked Rondo of Blood the most and did not really dig Symphony of the Night. I thought it aged kind of poorly, but I could understand at least why people liked it back in the day. And I don't feel the same about this one, but what are your experiences?
I am basically the same. I played the original NES game one time, and I played Rondo of Blood one time, and I played Symphony of the Night one time, and I also agree that of those three, Rondo is definitely the best one, like by far. Rondo of Blood is a really good game. If you have not played it, people listening, you should absolutely play it. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
This was my first of the Igavania games outside of, I mean, you can't really call this one an Igavania because
Iga didn't make it.
Koji Igarashi was not involved in this game's development, and you can tell. But this is my first of the Igavania style games after Symphony of the Night. I haven't touched any of the others.
And any like qualitative statements aside, I think off the bat, it's clear that this game is very much trying to be another Symphony of the Night in a lot of ways. Like, I think there are specific rooms in the castle that when I saw them, they felt like exact copies of Symphony of the Night. And a lot of the enemies are shared, too.
Yeah, a lot of the enemies are shared. I think this one's trying at least kind of hard to also be like, oh, it's Symphony of the Night, but we're going to borrow some stuff from the original regular platformer Castlevanias. And nobody on the team thought, oh, wait, putting those two together sucks. Like in the original Castlevania. This is getting into the first thing about like the level design and all that, because I think the level design in this game is mishandled, to say the least. So in the original Castlevania, there's that hallway right before you get to death. Do you remember that one?
Yes. It's like a big, it's a long enemy gauntlet of like super difficult statue enemies that
there's three axe knights and Medusa heads that are constantly spawning as well. This game feels like the team was shown that room and they decided, oh, that must be what Castlevania is, because 90% of this game is long hallways with the same pairing of enemies over and over and over.
Yeah.
Like you'll walk into a hallway and there'll be like, the one that comes to mind right now is there'll be a basilisk. I think it's a basilisk. The bulls that like breathe the stone, whatever the fuck. And then there'll be a Taurus demon.
No, those are called Gorgons, actually.
Gorgons.
Which, if really? I'm being honest, don't look anything like any Gorgon I've ever seen.
Yeah. Huh. So there's those, and then there's like these Taurus demons. And so you kill the Gorgon, and then you kill the Taurus demon, and you walk 5 feet, and there's another Gorgon and another Taurus demon.
The exact same setup of enemies.
Yeah, and that's rinsed and repeated 4 times in that hallway, and that's all this game is. There's so many of those hallways. They're everywhere.
Yeah, and Symphony of the Night had a couple hallways that felt like they didn't really move on from classic Castlevania. I'm remembering one that was like in the middle of the castle that had the big flower enemy in it that was just like really annoying to deal with every time I wanted to go through it. But this game in particular, it really feels like copy and paste was used a lot.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing over and over and over again across this whole room. And that's like, it's not just there, you know, there was one area of the game that was thrown together like that. The entire castle layout feels like that. There are so many places that when you look at them, it's just like the exact same tile set and enemy placement 3 times in a row.
And I think that's like the first moment. Well, no, the first moment you realize this game sucks is the first time Nathan jumps.
Or when you realize at the beginning of the game, the fastest speed that you can go is a brisk walk.
Until you get the run shoes, which you get them so early that at that point, just start the game with it.
I wanted to make a joke about how this is like a callback to the classic Game Boy franchise Pokemon. But I guess this actually predates the running shoes in Pokemon.
That sounds about
so,
right.
So I guess Pokemon was inspired by Circle of the Moon.
But when you play as Nathan, who is the main character of this game, he uses a whip. So unlike Symphony of the Night, you don't get weapons. You can't find new weapons, which does fix one of my problems with Symphony of the Night, being it was really frustrating in that game to get through a whole gauntlet only to find a sword that is not as good as the sword I'm holding. So Nathan sticks with the whip the entire game.
Mm-hmm. And I also had that problem with Symphony of the Night, especially like when I beat like the secret super boss. That's like the optional fight that you literally,
yeah.
It's a trophy just for this one fight because it's supposed to be the hardest fight in the game. And then it's like there's just a sword on the other end that like isn't even a super strong sword. It's just like a mid-tier sword.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
I would not say that Circle of the Moon removes that problem. Just kind of makes a different flavor of it.
Yeah, it replaces it with a new problem.
Yeah, because pretty much everything that you could pick up in the world as like an optional thing is like a minor upgrade, like more health, more magic, or more hearts, and which is very Metroid. There's a lot of just missile upgrades and energy upgrades in Metroid. But the thing of it is that Circle of the Moon still has the level up system that uses experience that Symphony of the Night used, which I didn't like in that game, and I like even less in this one, because now the leveling system matters more than ever, because it's basically the only thing you have to get stronger. Like, yeah, you can get more magic power and all that, but like you have actual stats for your attack power, your defense, all of that, and enemies also have these stats that are going up through the game. So not only are enemies' health going up, but their defense stats are also going up. So if you're not grinding to match that, then you're exponentially outpaced, not just like linearly. So it just compounds into you need to grind so much to keep up with enemies because being under level isn't a viable option. The deck is so stacked against you in what is ostensibly an action platforming game.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help that like everything is random drops. Everything is random drops. And random drops that actually the only thing that's common is armor sometimes. Sometimes.
Specifically leather armor.
Specifically leather armor. I picked up at least fucking 10, 15 leather armors throughout the game. You know what I didn't pick up 10 to 15 of throughout the game?
I'm going to guess health potions.
Yeah. So this actually sort of ties into your point of like the enemies get stronger, but you don't.
I don't want to like stop this point, but before I forget, I just want to ask, hey, we picked up like 10 pieces of leather armor. Did you ever find literally anything to justify getting duplicate armor pieces?
No, because there's no shop in this game.
Yeah, there's no shop. There's no crafting or anything. There's nothing.
Like,
I feel like I missed something. I must have just missed it.
No, as far as I know, because there's no money. There's no money.
There's got to be some reason that I finished the game with 10 pieces of leather armor.
Yeah, you picked up 10 pieces of leather armor. That's the reason.
It shouldn't be possible. Like, having multiple pieces of leather armor in your inventory physically doesn't do anything. It's literally you get a drop that cannot be useful.
Yeah, after a certain point in the game, like, it's just not useful. And speaking of, like I was saying, potions. Potions are the only way to heal in Castlevania Circle of the Moon outside of going to a save point.
There is also some magic spells that can do it.
That's true.
But those are also, we'll get to that, but those are also total RNG.
Yeah. And potions are a weirdly rare drop. I got maybe 5 my entire time playing the game.
Yeah. I got a similar number.
But not only are they completely way too rare and based on RNG, after about the, I want to say, 3-hour mark, they stop being useful.
Yeah, because they don't heal for a percent of your health. They heal for a fixed amount.
They heal 20 HP, and everything after a certain point in the game regularly, no matter what armor you're holding, does more than 20 damage. All bosses, like later bosses near the end, do like 100 damage, and I was wearing platinum armor.
I wonder if there's like a high potion that can give you more health. I wouldn't know. I never got it in the random drops.
Yeah, never showed up.
But it feels like there's got to be. There's got to be something, right?
Well, I would hope so, because otherwise, like, the only healing item in the entire game is worthless.
Okay, so I just checked. There is, in fact, a high potion that can drop. But, I mean, it's a random drop. We never saw one.
I never saw one. I just assumed potions were the only one because nothing ever dropped it. It's not like I wasn't killing enemies. I was killing enemies all the time.
You have to kill enemies. You have to grind. There's no option but to kill enemies. And I think part of the problem is that it's not just that there's a random chance of enemies dropping potions. It's a random chance of specific enemies dropping potions.
Well, I mean, you kind of see that with like the antidotes and the cure curse shit. Those are rather common and always dropped by the enemies that cause those status effects.
Mm-hmm. There are actually 5 different healing items that can drop.
What do you mean there are 5?
But several of them are dropped by at most 4 enemy types.
Oh my god.
Like, the high potion is only dropped by wind armor, devil armor, white armor, and legion. Like, those are kind of rare enemy types already. But don't worry, we got plenty of leather armor.
I played this game for like 8 hours and I never saw anything stronger than a regular potion.
I didn't either.
Oh, God.
But I saw a Heart EX recovery.
I also got one of those.
And the RNG doesn't stop there because it goes into the way that the magic system works.
Which also has a problem outside the RNG, which we'll talk about later.
So the way that the magic system works is that it's a system called DSS, which is the dual spell system, I think.
I think so.
Is what it stands for. And you have 20 possible cards that you combine into pairs. 10 of them are action cards, and the other 10 are attribute cards. You combine one action card and one attribute card. So you have the Mercury card that changes your whip's properties, and then you combine it with the Salamander to make it into a fire whip, the Mandragora to make it into a rose whip. I don't know the rest because that's the only ones that I found in my playthrough.
I found one more attribute card, but I don't remember what it did with Mercury.
I should say, there are 20 cards. I got 4 of them.
Yeah, I got 6. So there are certain spells you're just not going to see in your first playthrough unless you really, really feel like grinding for cards.
And of course, just like regular items, by the way, these are dropped by specific enemies.
They sure are.
Which I didn't know. And like, I guess I should have figured that one out, but I didn't know until I looked it up online.
The other problem with the magic system is that because this is a GBA game, it doesn't tell you how it works because...
I forgot about this.
GBA games came with manuals that you could read that would tell you how the game works. There is no manual. There is nothing to read, even in the Advance Collection. Nothing.
No, I think the Advance Collection does have it, actually.
Does it? Because I never saw it.
I think the Advance Collection like also has the manual in it. Like, it's not in the game. But it is there.
Wait, then where is it?
It's like in the outer shell of the collection. Like, you have to look in like the corner where they put like the neat concept art and everything. And there it'll have like an encyclopedia.
Oh, shit. I do remember a button there being in the encyclopedia. Why would they call it the encyclopedia?
I don't know.
Whatever. So, okay, good. That is there then. But that's the problem with like bringing forward games from that era, where the idea was, well, they're given a booklet that tells them how the game works. We don't need to tell them in game. And that's fair. That is correct. But games don't come with those anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all decided we would rather tell people in game how to play instead of killing a tree so that I can learn how the magic system in Circle of the Moon works.
And like, honestly, though, like, I don't totally buy into the idea that it was always valid to just expect that the player was going to read the instruction booklet, because those had spoilers pretty often. Remember Ocarina of Time? Like, it was actually like a plot twist halfway through the game that Ganondorf gets the stuff and you go forward in time. That used to actually be a surprise because it's in the instruction manual. It just says it.
Beautiful.
For that reason, I never read those. And nowadays, I feel like it's tough because you can't just change the game itself, but I feel like you need some kind of way to communicate to the player that there is information in this game that you are expected to know from this outside source. And even though the instruction manuals are in the collection, it's like I said, there's no way to know if it's just got spoilers in it. There's no way to know that there's critical game functions that are not going to be even hinted at in the game.
Like, how long did it take you to figure out that you can have Nathan twirl the whip?
I needed to be told.
Yeah, I think I discovered it on accident when I held the Y button. I had to. So in the Castlevania Advance Collection, the default controls put A on jump and B on whip, and that's fine. But for me, the buttons are on the Switch aren't in the right spot for my brain. I prefer to have jump on the bottom and then attack up and left from there. So luckily, you can rebind controls in the Advance Collection. Thank you, Konami. I'm actually surprised they let you do that. So I accidentally held Y, which had become my attack button, for too long, and that's how I learned that Nathan can twirl his whip, which is really fun because one of the first enemies you encounter drops shit that can't be killed unless you do that.
Oh yeah, it's like the first room of the game.
Like, it's the poison worms, when those drop on the floor, like, you can't hit them without doing the whip spin. It's impossible.
Which, like, in fairness, it's good that they do that early to make sure you know, but it's still like, what, like, I don't know how... I mean, I guess it was in the manual.
It might have been in the manual. I don't know. There's also, like, I had to accidentally learn that there is a slide, which is not the game's fault. That's my fault. I played Rondo of Blood. There was a slide in that game. I probably should have just known that there was. So I was actually over-leveled for half the game because I spent so long lost trying to figure out where to go in the first zone because I'm an idiot and didn't realize, oh, if I push down and B, I'll slide into these small alcoves. Oh, no. So that was the beginning of the game. And so I was like, this game's really easy for a little bit. And then the latter half of the game came out, and man, some of those armors just get, the dark armors especially, fuck those things. Oh my god, those things suck. But it's not just like the random drops are a problem, and the lack of tutorialization is a problem, but only from a modern standpoint. The one that's not from a modern standpoint, though, is that Nathan controls like ass. Nathan, when he enters the air, he falls like a Looney Tunes character that has just been reminded that the concept of gravity exists. He falls so quickly that I can only surmise that he pissed off a gravity wizard at one point and has had to suffer all the way through. Even when you get the double jump ability, which makes the jump feel slightly better, he still falls like a goddamn stone. And it's such a stiff jump. Like, it feels like, the only thing that I could think of when I was playing the game. So in the original Castlevania, you have like a weird clunky jump. You jump and any momentum you have is like a defined arc. And when you jump, you're stuck with that jump. You can't change in midair. And the game is designed around that being the case. This jump, Nathan's jump, feels like that, except, yeah, sure, you have some forward momentum, but for the most part, you're just going to go up.
So I didn't have as much of a problem with the controls as you did.
How Nathan moves when he jumps is really the only actual issue.
I feel like overall, it was what I expected for Castlevania, which, like, maybe we should have thought a little more about what it means to take this type of game into wide open exploration like this, but the Symphony of the Night's really popular, so I guess most people don't have a problem with that.
Well, I mean, Symphony of the Night doesn't have the exact problem of, like, yeah, it has it every once in a while, but a lot of the level design does feel like they realized, oh, people are going to go through these areas over and over again. If we design it like a regular Castlevania game, that's going to suck. People will hate it. This game, all of it's designed like a regular Castlevania game. Which, when you have to go back and forth through those areas multiple times, it sucks. Regular Castlevania levels make sense when you are playing them and then they are over and you move to the next level. And that doesn't happen in a Metroidvania.
Yeah, it's good for a single linear room to be a difficult enemy gauntlet when I go through it and then I move on. It's not so good when I'm going to go through this critical center hallway that connects the entire castle together, and every single time I need to fight three skeletons, a goddamn knight armor, and those swords that fly around and aim in on me. Like, it gets to the point where, like, I don't even know if it's hard, it's just boring.
Oh yeah, most of
I've done this 20 times now.
We talked about those hallways. They're boring as shit. And so are some of the boss fights. There is one boss fight that I walked away going, okay, that was pretty all right. And that was Camilla. That's it. That's the only one. All the other boss fights of this game suck.
The one in the top right, I forget the name of it, but it's like the Minotaur that's stuck in the wall. I found a pretty consistent pattern for managing to hit it without getting hit myself. But because I didn't grind for 3 hours before going in there, that fight took like 45 minutes.
Yeah, that fight took me a really long time. That's one of three fights that took me about an hour.
And this is a big part of games don't always need level up systems. Because I think it was in Symphony of the Night when they were talking about like why they put it in. It was because if you get stuck on a hard boss, then you can go and level grind and then beat it a lot easier. Yeah. But the problem with that is that if I don't level grind, then you've made the boss way more difficult. I can't go in with low equipment like I could in, like, say, Metroid, for example. Metroid, you have the same exact base power level, whether you have a ton of missiles and a ton of energy tanks or not. The energy tanks and missiles are just an extended cushion that gives you more opportunity to make mistakes. If I play perfectly, I can beat all of Metroid Dread without getting hit once, and I know that because I did it. Like, that's literally a game mode in Metroid Dread, and the boss fights don't take longer than they did in my normal playthrough. That's not true of Castlevania right now. The game is prohibitively more difficult, but it doesn't appeal to me as someone that likes difficult games because the difficulty isn't in learning the patterns and getting better at the boss fights.
It's that your number's not high enough.
It's in wasting time making the numbers go up, and that's not fun. Like, and even other RPGs, Kingdom Hearts has a mode built in to let you stay at level one, and it's feasible because it's not as much about your DPS and making the fights go longer. It's about getting good and having less of a cushion for mistakes.
Yeah, the problem, I think this game is worse than Symphony of the Night in that it feels like this game was explicitly balanced around the idea that, no, you have to grind. And not just like, you can play, here's the thing, you can play perfectly and not get hit by any of the bosses in this game. I don't believe that you're real if you say you can do that, but it's feasible. Some of those bosses have some bullshit. That Minotaur boss you were talking about, worst boss in the game. Like, by far.
Worse than Twin Dragons?
Oh, God, so much worse than... At least Twin Dragons had the decency to give me a spot where I could just go stand and heal. That's the only thing that puts it below. But they all feel like they are balanced so that we talked about boss fights taking an hour. If you go in underleveled to these boss fights, yeah, sure. If you're perfect and you don't get hit by anything, you can still beat them, but it's going to take you forever because your whip is doing 10 damage and they have 18,000 health.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck, idiot. And that just doesn't feel good. It is actually, like, especially the final boss is where I really felt it. Where it was just like, oh my God, will you please just die? I've been here for an hour. Please just die. Like, every boss in this game takes 300 years to kill. If you don't just sit there and spend that 300 years getting to level 40 to fight Camilla. And that's not good. That's just not good. That sucks.
It gets to the point where it's a game that appeals to a very specific type of playset. And that playset is, I like my numbers going up.
Yeah.
I really don't see the appeal unless you hear that a game has level grinding and that not only doesn't disappoint you, it actively excites you. If that's not how you feel about games, I don't see anything for you in Circle of the Moon.
And we found out while during the playing, we found out that Iga also agrees that this game sucks because he declared it non-canon.
Mm-hmm. It is removed from the Castlevania timeline.
Also, they keep wanting me to like give a shit about Nathan's whole thing with Hugh, and I don't.
It's just the same story as Symphony of the Night, just with characters I don't know.
You interact with Hugh a total of like 3 times, and one of those times is when you beat the shit out of him.
Every time,
yeah,
he's an asshole every time, and they take a long time to imply that he's been possessed or anything, which he hasn't, by the way. He hasn't been possessed. He's just an asshole. Every single time he shows up, he's like, Nathan, you're useless and you shouldn't be here. Go away. You go and fight that stupid Minotaur thing after it literally kicks his ass out the door. Like, he literally flies through the doorway. And you go in and you beat the Minotaur. And he's like, I just weakened it for you first.
You're getting in the way. This is my trophy. And they it feels like they try to give him like a character arc, but it's like, I haven't interacted with this guy at all outside of him being a dick. I don't give a shit if he was sad that his dad thought somebody else was better at fighting than he was. I don't care. You're a jerk, Hugh. I don't give a shit. I hope Dracula kills you.
I truly don't understand the disconnect between us and contemporary reviewers who got this game to a 91 on Metacritic.
Wait, this game is a 91?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Some quotes are, 2D adventure gaming at its best. One of the best games of the year on any platform. This is by far the best Game Boy Advance game that I've played so far. And to top this would be a Herculean feat. The world is huge. The boss creatures are massive in size and challenging to defeat. And overall, the quest is extremely fulfilling. These are all real quotes that I'm reading right off Metacritic.
And they're all wrong. Are you sure you're not reading, like, the Harmony of Dissonance Metacritic page? The Aria of Sorrow.
And I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, I can usually be like, all right, I understand how this is an old game from a different time. I understand how maybe this game plays against my particular preferences and biases. But this time, I just really, truly don't get it.
Yeah.
The only way that I can really imagine this is that people like Symphony of the Night, and this is a lot like Symphony of the Night. And wow, it's on a Game Boy Advance.
I'd say, like, boy, there sure must not have been, like, regular Metroid games coming out. There's two of them on the GBA.
Which, in fairness, were several years later.
I guess. So maybe this was just filling a niche.
Like, Fusion was a full year later, Zero Mission was several years later.
So maybe that's all it was then. Maybe it's just like, it's filling a niche. We don't have another game like this on GBA. This is before indie games really blew up. So, you know, you weren't going to find a billion Metroidvanias like you will today.
And it's like, I feel like the only response that I see to this game getting criticism is like, you know, get good. You don't like hard games. And it's like, Rondo of Blood literally changed my life and made me start playing games on harder difficulty and stop save scumming. Like, I don't agree. Have you seen me going like, I'm playing Kingdom Hearts on critical mode, beating it in like 3 days. I'm doing everything on the hardest difficulty. I'm fighting all the hardest super bosses in these games. Like, I like hard games. I don't get this one.
Well, there's also a difference. People seem to forget that there is a difference between a hard game and a challenging game. Those are two separate definitions.
I wouldn't even say that this counts as hard. It's time consuming. Because every single thing I see people say online is level grind. You're not level grinding. That's not hard. That's just a waste of my time. It's busy work. It's homework.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't like being negative and mean, but I really don't get it.
Well, like, I'm fine with this kind of thing in an RPG, because usually in an RPG, if I want to grind, I can just turn my goddamn brain off and do it half attentively. And I'm perfectly fine with that. You can't do that in a Castlevania game. If you try to do that in a Castlevania game, you'll die.
I feel like I'm on the other side of the Metroid Game Club now, where I was evangelizing Super Metroid as the greatest game ever made, and I don't understand how you could not like it. And then people in the Metroid Game Club were like, it's aged pretty bad. I don't really care for it. And it's like, I'm on the other side of this now, and I don't like being here. I really don't like it. Because I feel like I'm the one that's wrong now. Because I know that with Super Metroid, they were the ones that were wrong. So that means I'm the one that's wrong, and I don't like it.
I'm in this photo, and I don't like it. That's all I got to say about Circle of the Moon. Yeah. Circle of the Moon sucks. It's a bad game. Don't play it.
Yeah, we're coming up on a pretty full episode. How many games left in the collection?
Two. Harmony of Dissonance and Aria of Sorrow. We are not going to play Castlevania Dracula X because I've already played Rondo of Blood. I don't need to play a bad version of Rondo of Blood. Thank you.
I don't know. I played Other M for the Metroid
game.
Yeah,
that was your own choice. Nobody told you.
No one else played it. So, yeah, still ahead of us are Harmony of Dissonance and Aria of Sorrow, two games actually that Igarashi worked on. And I think that we are probably going to have a much better time with them because I see a lot of critical evaluation of Circle of the Moon nowadays that I don't see for those two games, where people look at Circle of the Moon, it's like, oh, maybe this actually sucks. And I still see people say, like, Aria of Sorrow holds up.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people call that one of their favorite, like, Igavania games ever.
So, now that we're done with Circle of the Moon, we are going to move on to Harmony of Dissonance. And I don't know anything about it going in. Do you know anything about it?
I know nothing about either of these, honestly.
Okay. Well, then that will wrap up this episode of NWR Connectivity, the first edition of the Castlevania Game Boy Advance Game Club. And if you want to weigh in your thoughts on Circle of the Moon, tell me, please God, what's wrong with me? You can send us an email at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Sound off on how this time I am the children that are wrong. And we will see you next time for Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance. So, goodbye, everyone.
Bye. This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.